12. Genesis chapter 12 from verse 10 through 20. How many of you believe God is going to do something in someone's life, like Pastor Minor said, right? I believe it. I believe it. If you came here to receive it, amen. Genesis chapter 12, verse 10 through 20. Read like this. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was severe. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you're my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake, and I will live for your sake, and my life will be spared because of you. When Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw Sarah and was a very beautiful woman. And when Pharaoh's officials saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh, and she was taken into his place. He treated Abraham well for her sake, and Abraham acquired sheep and cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord inflicted a serious disease on Pharaoh and his household because of Abraham's wife, Sarah. So Pharaoh summoned Abraham. What have you done to me? He said, why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she's my sister? So I took her to be my wife. Now then, here is your wife. Take her and go. Then Pharaoh gave orders to Abraham, to his men, and they said to him, and they sent him on his way with his wife Sarah, with his wife and everything he had. Praise the name of the Lord. You could be seated, church. Father, Lord, we come before your presence. We give you glory and honor for this word. I thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do this morning, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. So today's theme is trials of faith. Trials of faith. Do you know that faith is meant to grow, is not meant to stay stagnant, right? Faith is meant to increase and not decrease. Because when it decreases, we find ourselves in a place of trouble, right? So our faith is meant to increase, right? The theme is trials of faith. So what is faith? Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. Right? So by you sitting here this morning, hearing God's word, it increases your faith, right? Faith comes from not only hearing, but reading and studying God's word. How many of you know that it's not enough to just come here and sit on a Sunday or a Tuesday and listen to the preacher preach a sermon, but it's important to go on your own and open the word of God? How many say amen? It's important to go on your own and open God's holy word. Read it, study it, meditate on it, right? That's how your faith starts to increase, right? You know what kills me sometimes? That some people want to have faith, want their faith to increase, but they don't read the word. But they don't study the word. Faith comes from when we internalize God's word and make it ours. I'll say it again. Faith comes from when we internalize God's word and make it ours. So in another sense, right, we can't have faith just because we carry the Bible. We have faith when we open the Bible, we read it, and we study it, and we start to apply the word of God to our lives, right? That's when the faith starts to increase. Internalizing the gospel means to take it in. Make it mine. I'm making God's word, I'm taking it in and making it part of my life. How many say amen, right? You got to internalize it. Some people want to go through life just not reading, not studying, not taking God's word in, right? Faith is everything to the story. And the story is nice and it's beautiful. What's the story? God's word. Faith is everything to God. But if you don't apply it, if you don't believe it, you can't apply it. If you don't have faith in the story, what's the story? The rugged cross. What's the story? That Jesus died for us, right? What's the story? That he died and resurrected on the third day so we could move forward as a church, right? If we don't believe what we read, then we're not really internalizing what we're reading and hearing. Can you say amen? We got to internalize the word of God. Faith will cause you. You see, the enemy knows when your faith meter is low. And that's when he comes to attack you. When your faith meter is low, that's when he comes to give you the trials and the testing, and he comes to push at you. Why? Because he knows that if you start to internalize God's word, your faith starts to increase. He knows that faith does something in the believer that's very dangerous to the enemy. He knows that faith takes the believer into another level. He knows that faith will make someone walk on water. Oh, man. Faith will make you see something that's not there. Faith will make you see the unseeable. And he says, well, I got to, if they're going through this little struggle now, I got to attack now. Because if she internalizes God's word, there's a problem. Faith will lift up the limitations that people put on you. Faith will take you from point A to point Z. Faith will take you to where God has promised you. Faith will open doors that no man can open. And that's why Satan says, man, if his faith is a little bit, if your faith starts to be tested, you know what Pastor Minor just said, right? Sometimes we're in front of Nebuchadnezzar, right? And faith is like, oh, man, I'm going to trust in God. But sometimes the circumstances contradict that, right? Hebrews 11:1 say, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. That's what faith does. Faith will cause you to do something radical. Faith will cause you to do something you never thought you would do. Because a believer that operates in faith is saying, I don't do it on my own. God does it for me. A believer that operates in faith moves and trusts in God's will, right? Sometimes we say, you know, sometimes you go to the hospital and the doctors say, well, you know, you got cancer. And you come out of there depressed. You come out, or he'll tell you you're going through something, or you got diabetes, or you got this, you got that, right? Facts will always show you your present circumstances. Facts will show you your current situation and your present circumstances, right? I like what Minor said because I was just meditating, right? The facts were that the Hebrew kids were in front of Nebuchadnezzar. The facts were that the oven was up. The facts were what's there, what you can see, what's happening at the moment. Those are facts. But faith tells you, though this is happening now, God is in control. Faith tells you, though these are the circumstances, I know in who I believe. Faith tells you, I know that the creator of heavens and earth, the author of life, the one that created the Alpha and the Omega is in control of this. Facts tell me this is the situation and this is what I'm going through. But faith tells me that God is going to get me out of it. Can you worship the Lord? You see, because God commends faith more than anything in his word. Faith honors God, and God honors faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, and without faith is impossible to please him. For whoever draws near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So I ask myself the question, why so many people go through church so many years and they don't see God move and they don't see God operate? Because they might believe from the lips, right? They might say, well, I believe, I have faith. But if the word of God is not internalized in your life, if the word of God is not internal, the faith, though you confess to believe, your heart and your mind say something else, because the word of God is not truly internalized. But when you internalize God's word, when you make his holy word your word, when you make his word yours, you internalize it, and that's when you operate in faith. That's when you draw heaven to earth. That no, God will do what he said he will do. Do you believe that he's going to do what he said he will do? That's two different stories. He will do it. I've never seen God promise and not fulfill. God, what he promises, he fulfills. What men promise maybe won't fulfill. But God ain't like men. God promises and he sees the promise all the way to the end. You know, because sometimes we'll see, you know, I use this illustration a lot in Institute, right? I'll draw a line in the middle of the whiteboard. And I'll say, well, this is how we started. We came to Christ. We accepted him as Lord and Savior. And this is the promise, the end, our blessed hope, right? That we will meet Jesus at the end of our life, or he will come and lift up the church and we'll be part of that. This is the blessed hope, right? But he never shows you what's in the middle. Because if God was to show you what's in the middle, you'd be like, man, this ain't for me. I don't know if I could do this. But God says, if you draw near to me, you have to believe who I am. You have to believe that I'm going to operate on your behalf. The only way we do that, it's when we internalize God's word. That's why I believe that he will do what he said he will do. You know, sometimes we look at the story of Abraham, right? Because we're going to get in there right now. We look at his story. God called them from a comfortable place to a place where in the middle of his journey, he finds uncomfort. From a place where he's secure and he knows what's going on to a place where I don't know what's going on. I don't know if this is going to work. You understand? And that's what God does, right? Let's read Genesis chapter 12 from verse 11 through 13. The Lord is good, church. It says like this. As he was about to enter Egypt, he said to his wife Sarah, I know what a beautiful woman you are. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Then they will kill me, but will let you live. Say you are my sister so that I will be treated well for your sake and my life will be spared because of you. Today's first point is, when our faith is being tested, we must trust in the Lord. When we're being tested, we must trust in God. Abraham lets his fears direct his path at this very moment. He finds himself in a place unknown in Egypt. He goes in there and he's so scared for his life that he says, well, we gotta get this plan together. When fears and insecurities dictate our path, when fears and insecurities dictate our path, we're moving in fear. We're operating in the total opposite of what God wants us to operate in. When I let my insecurities and my fears dictate where I should go and what should I do, I'm out of God's will. When you let certain fears, look what Abraham does. He says, he completely says, well, you know what? We got to fix this. Well, I know how to fix this. Let's just lie. Let's just lie real quick. You say you're my sister, and we're going to figure this out, but I think this is the way I got it. You know, sometimes we get caught up like that, right? I got control of this. Lord, let me do your job for a minute. You're going to say that you're my sister, we're going to go into Egypt, and I'm going to be all right. But God just called them to come out of his comfort zone. But God just had deposit a word over his life. But he's like, you know, Sarah, you are beautiful. You got to lie here. We got to both lie. He feared that they will kill them, that they will kill him, so he lied. He plans his way out. He takes matters into his own hands. Sometimes I wonder if we're like that. I wonder if when the pressure's on, when we're running low, when there ain't too much food on the fridge, and the bills are coming in, I wonder if we buckle backwards and just try to figure it out on our own. I wonder if when the testing is on and the fire's on, that we say, I got this all figured out, Lord. I wonder when the bills and the mortgage is due and our marriage is struggling, I wonder if we say, I got this all under control. I'm going to take care of this, Lord. I'm going to do your job, God. I wonder if when the pressure's on, we start to just let our fears and our insecurities and our weaknesses dictate our future and our and what's ahead of us. God has a perfect plan for your life, and it's His will, and it's His way, and He's going to put you through some things that you might not want to go through, but you got to trust in God, because if we lose faith in the middle of the trial and in the middle of the circumstances, what do we have? If we start to lose faith, you know what we have? We have Satan creeping up right behind us. We have him lurking. The Bible says he lurks like a lion. If we start to lose faith and we let our fears and our weaknesses dictate what God already has ordained for us, if we let our fears and our weaknesses direct our path, we will do things like what Abraham just did. We will lie. We will try to fix the problem with our own strength. Well, we behind the bills, baby, I'll get two jobs and I'll stop coming to church for a while. We'll get these bills paid my way. You're behind, your marriage is struggling. Well, you know what? I'm going to fix this out somehow. And God is just sitting in the background saying, well, whenever you're done figuring this out, whenever you hit the point where you just can't take it no more, you come call me. Because I already got it all worked out. That's what I love about the gospel. That Jesus already worked it out. We try to work things out that he already did for us. We try to fix situations that he already won. We try to fight battles that he already conquered. But that's what makes the gospel so precious. That we don't need to put all the burdens on our back. We could bring them to Jesus and put them on his back. Because he has the power and authority to carry them. I wonder if somebody's putting some burdens on themselves today. I wonder if you're trying to figure this out. I got news for you. God got it all figured out for you. He got it all figured out for you. We can't be the type of people when the testing is on and the pressure's on and when our faith is being tested that we withdraw to our fears and our insecurities. We got to be the people that when our faith is being tested, that we can trust on God. That we can trust that he got it all worked out. When we have questions, we got to trust that he's under control. When our marriage is being tested, he's under control. God got it all under control. When we don't got food, when some of us lose jobs or are looking for new jobs, it's all under control. He got it all worked out for me. That's what faith tells me. Faith tells me he got it all worked out. Facts tell me, well, it's looking a little rough. Facts are gonna push you into the corner a little bit because it's your present circumstances and it might not be so well. But faith trumps facts. Faith overcometh facts. Hallelujah. I pray that we may be people that trust in the Lord. That no matter how hard or difficult things get, that we may always withdraw to God's goodness. Abraham, known as the father of faith, is lying. You guys are like, oh snap. Yeah, he just lied. The father of faith just lied. You should take notes on that. Put it in your Bible. When you read the promise, he also lied. Because you know what? He shows us. God is showing us through his word that nobody's perfect. That's what I love about the 66 books on the Bibles and the 40 plus authors that wrote in it. That no one was perfect about it. As a matter of fact, I love that he uses however he wants to use and whoever he wants to use, right? I love that about the word. Faith many times will conflict with what you feel. Faith sometimes will tell you, overcome, worship God through it, worship him through it. But your feelings are like, I don't know. I don't know if I could do this. Faith tells you, keep pressing forward, worship God, and your mind is telling you, man, we're going to drown in bills. Faith is telling you what God has already said, and your mind and your feelings are telling you something different. That's why when you let your mind and your feelings and your fears and your insecurities direct your path, it usually doesn't end well. But when you let God direct your path, when you walk in the walk of faith, he got it all figured out. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says this, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. In other words, don't let fear take you out of the right path. Don't let weaknesses and insecurities take you out of the right path. God is under control. The book of Psalms says that there is nothing in earth, that there is not one leaf that falls out of a tree that he don't know about it. The book of Psalms says that earth is God's footstool, that he governs and controls everything in it. Hallelujah. I love you, Lord. Proverbs 28:26 says, for those who trust in themselves are fools, but those who walk in wisdom are kept safe. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own mind and your own feelings, because they're deceiving. But lean on God's word. Lean on what he has promised. You see, it's not just the Bible. You ever been to somebody's house? I was laughing at this. And you go into their house, and you just walk through, and you just see Psalms 23 is open. It's just open like this. It's like, it's just open. It's there in the bedroom or it's in the living room. It's just open, sitting there. And I've wondered if some people really believe that just because it's open, it has power. I wonder if some people really believe that if they don't read it but just leave it open, it's going to do something for their house. I don't know. I'm trying to figure that part out still. But wait a minute. How about if you read and internalize what's in it and make it yours? That's how you start to operate in faith. That's how you start to say, well, I know what the doctor said, but you know what? We're going to get this all worked out. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that if I put the mind of Christ on, if I put his word in my life, if I internalize it, I know that no matter if hell rises, if things get rough, he got my back. I love that about God. It leads us to our second point. When our faith is being tested, we must make wise decisions. Look at Abraham, the father of faith. He did not only lie, but he gave his wife to another woman, to another man. Now, if you Sarah and your husband, whom God called, whom God promised to, gives you to another man, you're hurt. Because you're starting to question, well, did God really call us now? Is this really supposed to go down like this? Is this really supposed to happen where my husband just gives me to another man? He hurt Sarah's feelings. He broke her down by doing that. All right. Some of you guys are just looking at me like, let your husband You know what I was about to say. Your wife. She was questioning what was going on. When we let our fears dictate our path, we hurt the ones we love. When fears direct our paths, we hurt the very ones that we love. We hurt the very ones that live under our roof. We hurt the very people we socialize with every day. We hurt our kids. We hurt our spouses. We hurt our friends. We can even hurt our church. When we let fear direct us, we hurt people. Sarah was hurt. Sarah was messed up. And when you're going through times of uncertainty, guess what happens to your mind? Doubt starts to creep in. And doubt starts to settle in. We go from God called us and God promised us to, I don't know if God called us. I don't know. Why is Sarah over there? Sarah's probably thinking, why did Abraham give me to Pharaoh? I thought we were in God's will. I thought we were moving in the right direction. What is going on? Satan will use the trials and testing on your faith to creep in and bring doubt. Doubt of what? That God did call you. He will bring doubt and fears. But I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. I rebuke every thought that comes against Christ. I come against every thought that exalts itself against, over the name of Jesus. He's in control of your mind. He's in control. The promise looked good for Sarah. The promise looked good for Abraham. It looked like, man, have you ever been there? Have you ever asked yourself, man, what is going on in my life? Why do I got to go through this? Why do these circumstances feel like they're getting the best of me? Have you ever had to ask yourself, Lord, are you still with me? I'll go a little deeper. Do you still love me, Lord, the way you loved me when you saved me? Because Satan is an expert at bringing doubt. Look what the Bible says in Luke 22:31. It says, this is Jesus. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And that when you have turned back, you've strengthened your brothers. You know what that tells me? That in times of testing, that in times of weakness, we become unstable. Have you ever been unstable? Like, man, I don't know what's going on. Have you ever tried doing what the kids do sometimes? Walk a straight line and just, you tumble to the right. We become unstable when our faith is being tested. Why? Because we end up in a place where we start to question, God, are you still with me? Yes, God is still with you. The Bible says that he'll never leave you or forsake you. Of course he's still with you. But in our human mind, in our human atmosphere here in the world, we start to think, man, if God is still with me, I'm supposed to be here, but why I find myself here? If God called me, I still should be with Abraham, but I'm in the house of Pharaoh. We become unstable. But Jesus said to Peter, I pray that your faith may not fail. Because when you internalize the word of God, even in moments of trials and tribulation, God will sustain you. In time of testing, Satan looks to attack because we're unstable. Does it mean we don't love the Lord? No, we love God. But it could be that the circumstances we're in at the time are very difficult. You think Sarah didn't love God? I'm sure she loved God, but she's in the house of Pharaoh. I hope you could feel Sarah with me this morning. That your faith may not fail. Romans 8:34 says, Christ Jesus, who died
More than that, who is raised to life, is at the right hand of God, and is also interceding for us. I'm gonna sum it all up. We're being faith, our faith is being tried and tested. We find ourselves in an uncomfortable place, and in our uncomfortable place, Satan looks to take advantage of us. Why? Because we are unstable. We are not sure if where we are at the moment is where we should be. You guys with me this morning? But look what the Bible says. That in that unstable present time, in that state of unstableness, God is interceding. I love that. That he's up there saying, George, you're going to get through this. Don't let your faith fail you, because you're going to get through the problem. Don't let your faith fail you this morning, because God has it all worked out. Don't let your faith fail you, because in a blink of an eye, God will make the miracle happen. Don't let your faith tell you that, oh man. You see, Satan wants you to think that he's not operating, that God forgot about you, that because you find yourself in this place, God don't love you, that he's abandoned you. That's what Satan wants you to think. Don't let your faith fail, Peter. When you come back, you will lead the church. Oh, man. Don't let your faith fail, Peter. You will lead the church. As a matter of fact, Peter said, you know what? It ain't gonna fail. I'm gonna walk on water because he's been good to me, because I know who I serve. I know who... My Redeemer lives. Don't let Satan take advantage of you in times of trials and testing. It's going to be all right. It leads us to our last point this morning. When our faith is being tested, we can count on God to fulfill his promise. When our faith is being tested, we can count on God to fulfill his promise. What happened? The house of Pharaoh started getting plagued. Though Abraham lied, though he let his weaknesses and his fears get the best of him, God didn't abandon him. He said, well, you know what? It's time for me to step in. Because my servant, because my son and my daughter have been dealing with this for too long. I'm going to step in now. And guess what happens? Pharaoh's house comes with a plague. And at the end of the story, it says that Pharaoh gave his wife back to Abraham and said, why you lied to us? Take your wife back. But I love that Sarah didn't stay with Pharaoh. I love that God steps in the most crucial times of our trials, the most crucial times of our lives. He just steps in. He intervenes. He just steps in. I love that about God. You ever been, you know, praying for something and you're like, man, this is just not going to happen. And he just steps in. Wait a minute. It's happening right now. You ever been praying for something and I don't know who's praying for something, but you got to believe that he's going to do what he said he will do. And Abraham stood there and see the whole thing unfold. By the time you know it, Abraham was like, man, God got my back. I got my wife back too. It looks bad. It can look like it's all gone. But God steps in. And he steps in. And what happens when you see him step in? Your faith increases. Because your faith is not meant to stay where it's at. And when Abraham sees God's hand unfolding, his faith meter starts to rise. Because now he sees, man, God is who he is. He is the one that has called me. He is the faithful one, the one that never leaves us or abandons us. He is who he is. And our faith starts to increase. And the enemy's like, man, something's about to happen with Abraham. I try to stop it, but God stepped in. And I try to hinder his marriage, but God stepped in. They said they were going to take the car, but somehow the car got paid. They were about to lose the house, but somehow God stepped in. I love that about Jesus. He makes me just want to dance. Because he's so wonderful. And when he steps in, he allows you to see it with his eyes that he stepped in. And your faith just rises. Your faith is supposed to increase. But the only way it increases is if we internalize the word of God. Not just by carrying the Bible. Not just by leaving it open in the house. It's by reading it. It's by studying it. It's by intaking his words. Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Romans 8:28. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God interceding for us. Romans tells us so many things, that God is there, that he never leaves us or forsakes us. You know what I love about this? Just to wrap it up, that Abraham's faith increases, right? He says, no, God is working. I was in an unstable moment, but he's working. And then God tells him, Abraham, towards the end of his life, he says, won't you bring me Isaac? Won't you bring me the very thing you love? Abraham wakes up early in the morning, because he knows if Sarah finds out that I'm bringing Isaac to where God is asking me to take him, she might flip out. So he wakes up. The Bible says he wakes up very early, and he wakes up Isaac. What I love is that when God tells him, bring me Isaac, there ain't no questions of why Isaac. Why? Because when you know who you serve, and when you know what God has done in your life, when he demands you to do something, you don't question what he's sending you to do. But you only do that when your faith is right, when your faith came up. So he says, Abraham, you're my friend, but bring me your Isaac. And Abraham's like, Isaac, we gotta go. He doesn't question God. Because sometimes when we're in an unstable moment, we tend to question God. But he doesn't. Because he knows that God saw him through A, through B, through C. He will keep seeing him through. So when he asked for the very thing that he loved, was his son Isaac, he didn't question God. He said, Isaac, we got to go. And Isaac, the Bible says that Isaac went with Abraham, and Abraham took some of his servants. And halfway he told his servants, stop right here. And he kept moving with Isaac. And Isaac is like, where are we going? He says, we're going to sacrifice to the Lord. And Isaac looked at Abraham and he says, but where's the lamb? And Abraham looked at Isaac and says, God will provide the lamb. Because I believe that he is who he is. I believe that what he said he will do, he will do. God will provide the lamb. Isaac must have been like, you know what? I got to trust my father, because he's never led our home to a bad place. And he just walked. And when the Bible says that when he laid Isaac down, the angel of the Lord said, wait a minute. And God provided the lamb. You know why? Because Abraham had that faith that he would provide. Sometimes we question God too much. But if you learn to internalize his word, he will provide. Isaac is going to be all right. Because I've seen God do this. I've seen him do that. And he's never failed me. Hallelujah. God has never failed. Isaac is going to be all right. And they got up, and when the lamb was provided, they sacrificed to the Lord. But you see, if our faith stays small, we can't proclaim God's goodness all the time. Because we're going to hit the top. We're going to hit the, you ever heard of the law of the lid? Where you just reach the top and you don't know where else to go? That's how our faith is supposed to burst past the top, past the ceiling. It got to be the faith of a giant. And if it's the faith of a mustard seed, God honors that too. Hallelujah. Church, you may stand up to your feet. Hallelujah. I worship your name, Lord. I wonder who this morning is struggling in their faith. I wonder who this morning has questioned God when God has provided. I wonder if this morning you came into those doors saying, Lord, I don't know when this problem is going to be over. I don't know when you're going to work. I don't know when you're going to do it. I got news for you this morning. He will do it. He will work. He will not abandon you. He will forever be by your side. Thank you, Jesus, for your word. Thank you for your holy word, Lord. Thank you for not letting the circumstances dictate my path, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Your faith, Lord, will lead us. As the worship team gets ready, I wonder if you've been fighting with God. And you've been saying, Lord, I don't know, man. I don't know where I'm at. God knows where you're at. God is in control of your life. Internalize his word so you can see him operate. So you can see him move. Thank you, Jesus, for your word this morning. Thank you, Lord. I pray, Lord, for your church. As the worship team gets ready to sing, you know how many times I had to throw myself at the mercy of Jesus? Even when I didn't understand what was going on, I always did it. And I didn't care who was looking. And it wasn't so people could lay their hands on me. It's because the Bible says that he sees an act of faith in your heart. He sees when you move. He sees you. Lord, I pray that we may trust you in times of testing. As the worship team gets ready to sing, the altar's open. We have our pastors and our deacons here ready to pray. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.